Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is a Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. And as we count down to NBA All-Star Weekend, it is our great pleasure to welcome into the program maybe the greatest dunker, Hugh, in the history of the NBA, Dominique Wilkins, joining us.
Nick, good morning. How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. Nick, do you still get excited for the All-Star game, man?
Yeah, I do. But I think the thing I get excited about the most is really, to be honest with you, is the Legends Brunch. I mean, it's just a wonderful, wonderful event.
You know, it is a great weekend, and they have really built it up from what it used to be, and now a chance for the Hawks to showcase again this week. But before we get to this weekend with the Hawks, I'd like to take you back, if I can, Nick. I was fortunate enough to be courtside at Market Square Arena in 1985, watching you win the slam dunk. Can you take me back to that event that day in Indianapolis? I mean, you beat, think about this, you beat Michael Jordan, Dr. J, Larry Nance. I mean, it was a who's who in 85.
Well, everybody wanted to do it. Everybody wanted the best with it. You know, you didn't have four guys doing it. You had six or seven, sometimes eight guys in the contest. So it was a special event.
And you had a chance to, you know, go through that. Were you aware of if there was a slam dunk contest that kind of really set the tone for the slam dunk, that was it. That was the year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but again, you had all of the best athletes in the contest. And, you know, the slam dunk was the signature mark or event at All-Star Weekend, that and the three-point contest. I mean, everybody wanted to see it.
Yeah, no question about that. Speaking of that, do you remember that slam dunk contest you had against Spud Webb? And were you surprised that little fella got up the way that he did?
Well, I wasn't surprised that he got up the way he did. I was surprised the type of dunks he was doing in the contest, because I've never seen him.
You know what's funny? We had a chance to talk to him the other day. And he was telling me that he never, like, he was doing dunks on the fly. Like, he was thinking up those things as he went along. Did you do the same thing, or was it a thing where you kind of practiced for the slam dunk?
I never worked on dunks before the dunk contest. Everything was stuff I was doing in games. And so it was easy.
I mean, yeah, because you were doing windmills in the game. I mean, that was your signature, yeah. Right?
Right, exactly. So I never worked on it, and I can tell you Michael never worked on it as well.
It was just something you guys, I mean, and now, of course, it's a production. I mean, guys jump over cars. They do it blindfolded. I mean, they get, yeah it's a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it took it to a different type of level. But, you know, there's no imagination like the element of surprise, and so, you know, that the fans don't know what you're going to do until it happens.
With that being said, has John Collins stepped to you yet and asked you, or Vince Carter for that matter, has he pointers about the All-Star, slam dunk contest?
Yeah, Vince and I have been giving him some pointers and some insight on what he has to do and how he has to come out. And I think John's going to do very well.
Was there any pressure to say, like, listen here, young fella, you know, this is a great place for you to make your name for yourself? Did anybody say anything to that nature to him?
Oh, yeah. You know, said, you know, the publicity level is, I mean, as you're on a world stage, you know, and this is a chance to really show them who you are.
Dominique Wilkins joining John and Hugh talking about All-Star Weekend. You're right, Dominique. Let's take this All-Star Weekend. You have Trae Young and John Collins. They're both going to be in the Rising Stars game. Trae's going to be in the Skills Challenge and John in the Slam Dunk. How important is it for the franchise, given what Travis Schlenk and Lloyd Pierce are trying to do, to have these guys kind of take that stage? And you're coming off a big win over LeBron and the Lakers. Right. You're going into the All-Star Weekend. What does it mean for the Hawks?
It means a lot to us, you know, to have these two young guys. It's All-Star Weekend. You know, it gives them a chance to, again, show who they are. And it's great for the franchise that you got two up-and-coming young stars that have a chance to do something special. So this is wonderful for our franchise.
You know, speaking of that, the job that Coach Lloyd Pierce has done up to this point, what grade would you give him, letter grade would you give him at this point in the season?
Well, you know, it's hard for me to, you know, to kind of gauge that and grade that, you know, because then everybody's going through a learning process. And, you know, Lloyd Pierce is no different. But I think he's done a wonderful job with these young kids. They really have responded to what he wants to do.
Dominique Wilkins joining John and Hugh, talking a little bit about the Hawks. Dominique, when you first got traded from Utah back to, you know, back home, for lack of a better term, and became a member of the Hawks, the franchise kind of went through a transition period. And once you transitioned and kind of got some of your new teammates in, and the whole Czar, the Telestrator thing started to happen for you in the mid-'80s, you saw that kind of transition period. Are you seeing where we're transitioning now from what it was under Mike Budenholzer to what it will be under Lloyd Pierce, and that the future is tracking in the right direction?
I think so. I mean, you know, you go through a transformation, you know, in this game. And I think what people have to do is just be very patient, and things will happen. We have a great young core group of players that gets it, and that is constantly developing. And I think we're going to do some special things. You know, any team you have to build, and I think that we're going to be in a situation next couple of years where we are that team that everybody compete against.
Of course, Hawks legend and now Hawks commentator Dominique Wilkins talking about the All-Star weekend ahead and where the Hawks sit. Hugh and I were talking, Dominique, about, and Hugh, you made this point about, you know, don't, you know, try not to get over your skis in terms of you want to get to the playoffs, but don't go too fast. You want to stay true to who you are, kind of thing.
So basically, we're talking about the free agency coming up next year. You know, they said there's going to be 40% of the free agents coming into the market next year in the NBA. How do you not go into a season or off season and not try to, you know, go out and get the big name free agent and let this thing just take its course and let these young players develop? How tough is it not to go out and do that in free agency?
Well, you know, one thing is I can't really talk too much about the free agency thing, you know, because, you know, as an executive, you got to kind of let them do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our management, basketball ops are, you know, they're being very creative in how they do things. So, you know, Travis and those guys are going to do the best for this franchise. So I think everybody has the opportunity to do well, or, you know, get a free agent that hopefully can help their team. But, you know, it's all about, you know, being strategic and how you plan.
Right. And I guess the point is that I think fans are kind of on board with what Tony Ressler's vision is, Dominique, for the mm-hmm. franchise. One of the things I've always said, and one of the things I really like about what Tony Ressler has done since he took over the team, is that everything he's done has been through Travis Schlenk and now to Coach Pierce and to the team, very transparent to the fans. Hey, this is what we're going to do. This is the order that we're going to do it. And as people see the you know, they take them along the steps here, there's, you know, no reason not to I don't see any reason to venture off track here, do you?
A win, no. And anyone, you know, his main objective is build a winner here. That's the main objective, is get a championship one day. And that's always been his objective. You know, we have a wonderful ownership that, you know, is doing the necessary things to, you know, to move us in that direction. So that's the only goal, is to win.
After post All-Star, between now and the end of the year, you've seen growth, you know, of Trae Young. Now that John Collins has gotten healthy, we see growth in Kevin Huerter, in Amari Spellman, some of the other young players. What do you want to see with the Hawks achieve here? Is there what kinds of goal? Is there a goal here towards the end of the year?
Well, the goal is to continue to develop, you know, and keep adding pieces to our team. That's the ultimate goal, and because again, you know, when you have a young team like this, it doesn't happen overnight, you know. And so again, it takes patience, it takes you know, planning and continue to develop, and that's what it's all about.
If I can, Dominique Wilkins has been joining us for a couple of minutes, and I know that we have some fans that are weighing in here. Dominique, if I can, I'd like to ask you a question away from the Hawks a little bit. Do you stay in contact with the program up in Athens, and kind of what's your take on Georgia basketball at the moment?
Well, it's growing, you know, and hopefully get back to what it used to be. And hopefully with Coach Green, that will happen. And this has got a pretty serious commitment right now from, you know, a young player here in Georgia. So that's where it starts, you know, being able to get players in their own state.
Yeah, it certainly, and that's been a problem for, you know, some of the colleges around here, is keeping that local talent here. All right, so Dominique, we got the All-Star weekend mm-hmm. coming up in Charlotte, North Carolina. Are you going to be there?
I am.
A little extra pressure on John Collins with you watching the slam dunk.
Well, yeah, I mean, I want to see John and Trey, you know, and do their thing and enjoy the weekend. And that's what it's about, man. I'm happy for both of these guys, you know. And, you know, actually, I was going to come back right after the slam dunk contest, but I'm going to stay for the weekend and go to Legends Brunch and all that good stuff, and then I'm going to mosey on back to Atlanta.
I heard it's a great weekend, too. A great, great yes. weekend.
Dominique, enjoy the weekend. Thanks for taking a few minutes, and we look forward to the All-Star weekend.
No problem.
Have a good one.
He is the greatest dunker in the history of the NBA, in my opinion. Now, of course, Jordan got the rep. But back in 85, when I was talking about being at Market Square, think about who was in that. Matter of fact, let me get the list here, Hugh. 1985 slam dunk. This is why, you know, one of the things, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later this morning. We're already talking about it on our Twitter, at 929 The Game, with the question. We're asking if you can if you can't make the superstars do it anymore, what do you do to make the NBA slam dunk contest better? And so we're asking you for your suggestions, and we're getting quite a few interesting suggestions as to what would make the slam dunk contest better here. All right, here's the 1985. There's the game itself. Well, where's the slam dunk? The participants in 1985 were off the chain. It was, well, I can't find it right off there, but it was Dominique.
The participants were?
Yeah.
Clyde Drexler, Julius Erving, Dr. Dunkenstein himself, Daryl Griffith, Larry Nance, Terrence Stansberry, and Orlando Woolridge, along with Jordan and Wilkins.
Man,
that right there, man.
That was quite a group.
Yeah. I mean, and then you look at I think the biggest thing that happened with the All-Star game, well, with the slam dunk contest, is that it shifted from having the stars do the slam dunk contest because I don't know who the guy was, but there was for a long time, some guy had offered LeBron James like $1 million to get into the slam dunk contest, and he never did it. And it was like one of those things where you always wanted, like, you wanted to see LeBron James and those guys do the slam dunk contest. But for them, for LeBron James, he has nothing to gain from doing the slam dunk contest. Because if he loses, and it's always a possibility, then, you know, that potentially could hurt his brand. So since he's never done it, it was never one of those things where it was an issue. I wish he would have did it like in his rookie year or something like that, though. That would have been pretty cool to see him do that, and people probably would still be talking about that to this day. But I guess he's never had any desire to do that. Because when you look at that list and you look at how Michael Jordan, that probably was the moment where Michael Jordan kind of transcended basketball when he did a slam dunk contest. Because all I remember from that is the shoes and the tongue. You remember that dunk that he did?
And back in his early days, he would wear chains. They had to outlaw the chains and everything like that. And he also he would break out his Air Jordan gear. He wouldn't wear the Bull sweats. He would wear some newfangled Air Jordan gear. And so the NBA put a kibosh on that too. But
that's where Nike came up.
Oh, yeah.
With that Jordan, because they put all of that on lock. And to this day, you still have foolish people standing in line waiting on them J's like that, selling like hotcakes.
Yeah, the slam dunks began in 1984. The first winner was Larry Nance. They did it till 1998, and in 97, Kobe Bryant won it. In 98, they didn't hold it. Instead, they held the WNBA NBA two-ball competition, which was a disaster. You know, they were trying to promote the WNBA.
Wasn't that the lockout year?
No, the next year was the lockout year.
Yeah, because I was thinking, what about – can you imagine, like, Kobe and Vince Carter dunking against each other? Because Kobe would have had to defend his title.
Right, so 2000, Vince Carter won it. Let's see if Kobe was in it against Vince. I don't recall. It was 19 years ago. He was in it in 2000 when Vince won it. But, no, in 98, they didn't hold it because they wanted to hold this two-ball because they were trying to promote the WNBA, and that turned out to be a disaster. Not the WNBA, but the event.
The event, yeah.
The lockout was the next year in 99, and then because Kobe won it in 97, and then the next winner would have been in 2000, Vince Carter. But if you look back to this, you say Dwight Howard won it. Remember the whole Superman thing?
Yeah.
That was 2008. The winners after Dwight Howard became Nate Robinson, who was sort of like a newfangled spud, twice back-to-back. Then Blake Griffin won it when he jumped over the car. Then it became kind of like, Jeremy Evans of Utah, Terrence Ross of Toronto, John Wall his rookie year, Zach LaVine won it a couple of times, Glenn Robinson III, and then if you ask anybody, who's the defending slam dunk champion, would they say, Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz? Nobody. I mean, Donovan Mitchell's a good player.
But nobody like he knows his name like that.
Right. I mean, not like you would have noticed, Kenny Skywalker or, You know, Cedric Sabalas with a blindfold back in the day.
Well, it's because you're not getting the best players to compete in this event. I mean, nothing against this year's competition, but when you said John Collins was the favorite to win, that surprised me only because out of the four names that are participating, I would have thought Dennis Smith would have been that particular guy. But the group in its in total, it's not really an exciting group to watch.
It seems to me like the NBA has had trouble like getting guys to actually participate in this. That's what it feels like. And it's one of those events that you're talking about the heyday of Dominique and Jordan and guys like that, that they don't want it to go away. They don't want to get rid of it. But nobody is actually watching it and like they did back then. I think the biggest thing now is the celebrity game. The celebrity game, because I saw it was Jay Williams is hosting the team in Quavo. So I'd be interested to see that because I know the Migos like to, you know, they like to play sports. They're like one of them was a quarterback. Was it Quavo or Offset? Quavo. Quavo was a quarterback.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, did Denver find its Quavo in Joe Flacco?
Yeah, a play on words. Good job, John.
It is quarterback frenzy in the NFL right now after the big trade of Joe Flacco from Baltimore to Denver. We'll tell you what the fallout of that is next.
Where in the world? Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime. Using the internet. Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24-7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
A little life lesson here. Careful what you tweet if you're a quarterback in the National Football League. Right, we're going to get into this. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. This quarterback frenzy stuff with Joe Flacco's trade. But first, Hugh, I want to just bounce something off you here. Because Kirk Cousins, he of the guaranteed contract with the Minnesota Vikings, tweeted this yesterday. Kirk tweeted, "The season feels so far away, so I want to do a giveaway to keep all you at Vikings fans excited. What do you want me to give away?" And he gave four options: a signed jersey, a signed football, a signed mini helmet, or other. And people responded this way: "What do you want me to give away? How about not losing to the Bills and Bears second stringers? What do you want me to give away? How about some of that cap space? What do you want me to give away? Roughly $84 million. And what do you want me to give away? Well, you've had enough giveaways during the season. We can stop with that."
Yeah, you set yourself up for that one. I mean, you really do. Like, listen, if I don't know what I would do if I lived in the social media era when I played. I would probably be in a lot of trouble. It would probably be different because my mouth would definitely get me called into the office a whole lot. But you can't do that, not on social media, especially after you've come in to the season. They let go of a quarter. They let go of Case Keenum for you to get to them to the promised land because they felt like they had a promised land team. And you didn't get it done. You didn't even get to the playoffs. Like, that was bad. So, yeah, you probably should stay off of social media, anything like that, giving away. You should have just probably been better off saying, "Hey, I'll give away a jersey," and then let them eat you up. They'd have probably ate you up anyway. But at least that's different than putting it out there, picking your poison, picking the way you want to get cut apart.
Other.
Yeah, you set yourself up for that one. Fans don't forget stuff like that, man. They really don't.
You know, Case Keenum got let go by Minnesota. Now we're going to be let go by Denver. Where will Case Keenum end up? Because now the revolving door of quarterbacks is going to happen this offseason. It's going to be interesting to see all of the fallout of the Joe Flacco trade. So Baltimore trades Joe Flacco to Denver for a fourth-round draft pick, and Baltimore goes all in on the concept of Lamar Jackson at quarterback for them, which is fine. Now Denver has another quarterback in Joe Flacco. What do they do with Case Keenum? Well, they're going to have to try and trade him. They're going to have to find somebody that will take him. Now, there are some teams out there that want Case Keenum or might want Case Keenum, but let's not forget that there's other quarterbacks that are still out there like Teddy Bridgewater.
Nick Foles. Well, Nick Foles will be out there probably.
And Nick Foles.
Probably.
And then here's the cascade on this. That could create another cascade. Now, the only team that desperately, absolutely, positively has to have a quarterback is Washington because Alex Smith is not going to play this year at all.
I agree.
Okay? So they need somebody. Case Keenum, Nick Foles. A lot of people thought it was going to be Joe Flacco. So they need somebody. Now, other teams don't necessarily need a quarterback, but they just want a new quarterback. Miami is one of them. I mean, that's all the reports are. Of course, Miami's also favored to possibly get Kyler Murray in the draft.
But Miami's thinking Teddy Bridgewater as a bridge guy for Kyler Murray. That's I think that's what the reports of Miami are saying is get rid of Steele's daddy. Now that dumps Ryan Tannehill onto the open market. There are people in New York saying go ahead and draft Dwayne Haskins, get Case Keenum in New York to bridge him, and that puts Eli Manning on the open market. Now Jacksonville might have some interest in Eli Manning bridging to a young quarterback like, say, Daniel Jones, and that puts Blake Bortles on the market.
Yeah, because Tom Coughlin is in Jacksonville, and they have a good rapport, and that'll be a great landing place. So, yeah, I see what you're saying. There's going to be a lot of movement, and I think that a lot of teams are trying to position themselves to do that. There's going to be a lot of guys who are going to be bridge guys to help some of these young quarterbacks come in. I can see Eli going to Jacksonville. I can see him going down there and helping that team out. I still think Eli has some stuff left in the tank, and I think that the move to the fun in the sun in Florida might be good for him, might be a good thing for him.
Well, and at his age, I mean, he is getting close to 40, and, you know, got a couple of years left in him. And, you know, Eli's never been one to want to, you know, sort of, you know, train another quarterback, so to speak. But, I mean, just to go out there and play for a year or two while the other quarterback kind of just gets what
he
wants.
That's the nature of the beast. You know? And then think about it like this, John. When he's done playing football, him and his brother are going to go back to doing great commercials on television because I think they have a good chemistry. Look at what Peyton's been able to do. Peyton's still making commercials. He's still relevant, and he hasn't played in a while. So there's going to be something for Eli to do. It's just not going to be playing quarterback.
Keep this in mind. There are four first-round quarterbacks projected in the draft, okay? In some order of fashion, Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, Daniel Jones of Duke, and Drew Locke of Missouri. Now, those four are projected to go in the first round. What are you going to have next year? Well, you're going to have Tua. What are you going to have the year after? And by the way, Jake Fromm. Depending on how Jake Fromm does, Jake Fromm could be gone from Georgia after this season. I mean, he may be a top five pick in the NFL draft.
Maybe.
And then the next year, you're going to have Trevor Lawrence potentially coming into the draft. So, and that's just for starters now because there's other guys coming up in the pipeline, as we all understand. But having said that, they're going to be a sea change at quarterback here. You have Eli at age, 38, 39. Drew Brees is 40. Tom Brady's about to be 42. Even Matt Ryan is now getting to be in his mid-30s. I don't think the Falcons need to think about a quarterback just yet. But by 2020, 2021, yeah, I think we got to start thinking about quarterback for the Falcons. We got to at least start thinking about it in terms of developing a quarterback if you want a quarterback to sit for a couple of years. So, again, I think we're 2 or 3 years away from that point with Matt Ryan. But at that point, we're going to have to think about quarterback for the Falcons. Having said that, you're seeing all these teams. One of the things, Hugh, about new head coaches is they're going to want to bring their own style in. There are 8 new head coaches. Some of them have quarterbacks that are already entrenched. Obviously, Matt LaFleur has a quarterback that's entrenched in Green Bay. Freddie Kitchens has a quarterback that is now entrenched in Cleveland and Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
But you have others like Brian Flores, who, if he isn't a Ryan Tannehill fan, is going to want to make a move. You know, you have Zach Taylor. If he's not an Andy Dalton fan, he might want to make a move. And so could that put Andy Dalton onto the open market suddenly?
Potentially. That's the thing about it, John. It's like when coaches come in, new coaches come in, they're going to want their guy. And more than likely, it's probably not going to be you because of your style. And you know, whether it's fair or not, most of the blame is always put on the quarterback and his performance. And you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, man, have been close, been in a couple playoff games, haven't won a playoff game in a while. Has had a struggle. The Red Rifle, I think, is a good quarterback. I think that he'll survive this. I think that there are some redeeming qualities about him that he will survive this new regime. But they're going to have to put some talent around him. Now, he's probably going to get a one-year deal. I mean, as far as when I say one-year deal, I mean, he's going to get 1 year to prove that, you know, it wasn't just him. It wasn't all him. Maybe it was the system or something like that. So he'll get that. But it's hard to turn a whole team around. It really is. It's kind of like we were talking about yesterday in college and having guys when a new coach comes in, how he changes the philosophy of the team and everything. Kind of hard to do that in the pros. So it's going to take a while for them to switch it over. But hopefully, again, Andy Dalton has some redeeming qualities that will not get him cut, and he can turn it around in Cincinnati.
All right, so you have a new coach down in Tampa, right, in Bruce Arians. Let's play this out a little bit. We're just playing what if. Let's say that Bruce Arians wants defense. You know, they went out and got Vinny Curry, and he didn't really work out so much for them and went out and got JPP, and their defense was still an issue, and we don't know about Gerald McCoy. Let's say that Bruce Arians covets Nick Bosa, okay, just for the sake of argument. Tampa has the number 5 pick. Cliff Kingsbury has gone at least publicly out there and said, hey, Josh Rosen's my guy, Josh Rosen's my guy. Well, or in a manner of speaking, he says we're committed to Josh Rosen. He can say that now because they are committed to Josh Rosen because they don't have anybody else, but that's for right now. If he really believes that Kyler Murray is that guy, Arizona could trade down, let's say, to Tampa's spot at 5 and still get Kyler Murray, right? And trade up, and then they could maybe get an additional pick out of Tampa Bay. So that something like that could happen, which could throw Josh Rosen potentially onto the open market. And we know that there are reports that New England might covet Josh Rosen to be a backup for Tom Brady to try to develop him over the next year or two. So I think that there's a lot in play here, Hugh. I mean, we could have quarterback palooza round of tables. I think Joe Flacco is the first domino to fall in what could be a wild offseason.
Yeah, and you were talking about on the 13th in March when all of this stuff, it becomes official, the new league year comes around. Yeah, there's probably going to be a whole lot of quarterbacks that are moving around. It's going to be a lot of guys who are going to be collecting jerseys. So, yes, no question about that.
Yeah, and so this is why, you know, everybody, oh, you got to get rid of Matt Ryan. You should be thankful if you're an NFL team and you're settled at quarterback. Because look how many teams are really not settled at quarterback. A lot. Even teams that you think are settled at quarterback, like Miami and Jacksonville, they're really not settled because they're not sold on their own guys. We're talking, you know, Arizona's got a guy, but are they really sold on Josh Rosen being able to develop? And maybe, who knows, maybe Arizona's trading away Josh Rosen and he goes to, you know, New England and becomes another Brady.
Yeah, because he's going to sit for a little while. He's going to get a chance to figure it out, kind of like Aaron Rodgers did when Brett Favre was there.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Aaron Rodgers, let's not forget, didn't play for 3 years. And when they finally cut Brett Favre to promote Aaron Rodgers, there were a lot of people going, what are you doing?
Yeah, that was a tough one. That was a tough one for a lot of people to deal with. I remember that. I remember that like it was yesterday. They were going through it. Green Bay fans were going through it about that one.
Yeah, because they were thinking, are you out of your mind? You're trading the greatest quarterback we've ever had. I mean, double the greatest quarterback. Of course, that was set against the fact that I think he had retired like 8 years in a row.
We thought about it, then he didn't. Then he wanted to go.
I'm retired.
He wanted to go to Minnesota. Then he wanted him to go to Minnesota. Yeah, all of that.
Yeah, all that. You know, right? All that. And that would lead to Jen Sturger, and that's another story. All right, so we. Well.
They ain't had nothing to do with nothing. That was when he was at New York. And he was in New York when all that went down.
I mean, just, you know. I like Brett.
Oh, this was the weirdest video.
I was
ever.
Just thinking about Valentine's Day in Love. That's all.
Yeah, I'm just saying this video for this song right here, Night to Remember, was a super weird video.
It's the morning show with John and you. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to ask you our question that we're asking you on our Twitter. What could make the slam dunk better? That'll be at 8 o'clock. We'll take your calls on it, too. You got to tell us, what would improve the NBA slam dunk competition? And you may say it doesn't need to be improved. Hey, somebody was born today, back in the day, that Falcons fans are going to want to honor. We'll do that as we continue with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My vote.
Go!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I hope we don't have to remind you that it is Valentine's Day.
Whitney Houston. I'm just saying, Whitney Houston.
So if you do need reminding that you need to stop by the local flower shop or something.
Flowers, well, I don't
Hallmark,
say that.
Hallmark store or something. I mean, cardinal flowers is enough, right?
Yeah, flowers are cool. Flowers are kind of like traditional. You know what? Today was the day, this day in history, mm-hmm. that was pointed out to me on my show sheet, that Whitney Houston's debut album premiered on this day in 1985. So there you have it. I looked at my show sheet. Look at your show sheet.
Also, Jesse Tuggle was born this day in 1965, and boy, I'm not sure that
the hammer,
the more of a impact on the Falcons as an organization from one family, but except for the Tuggle Jarrett family. I mean, between the two of them, you know what I mean?
Behave.
I ain't saying nothing.
You better not.
What? Why every time? Like, dog, I ain't saying nothing.
Well, do we start to talk about who was better, Jesse or Grady?
Really, John?
Jesse.
I mean, Jesse was that guy. I know.
Longevity right now. No, right now.
Exactly. Okay. Okay.
That's
since,
not even
okay,
fair.
Since you want to have the conversation, two different positions. Two different positions.
Right.
But I will say that Grady is on a trajectory of being better than his pops, which is not a bad thing. If it's my son, I'm happy about that. You always want your kids to be better than you. He is. They both been to the Super Bowl at this point. Well, Grady went to the Super Bowl early in his career. Grady has the most memorable game in the Super Bowl. He had 2 sacks in the Super Bowl.
3.
My bad. I shorted him one.
But Pops is a 5-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, Pops.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's why I said he's on the trajectory of being better than his pops.
He ain't there yet, though.
He on his way.
Daryl, what are you?
Okay, I know you're saying the Pro Bowl, but he's done about just as much outside of the Pro Bowls as his dad did in a shorter time period of time. For real.
Well, Grady about to get paid.
Yeah,
about like to his do dad that could have only have dreamt to be paid. That's for sure.
Now in that area, he's going to surpass won. His dad.
Definitely.
Steve McNair, born in 1973. We bring this up. Had the luxury of seeing McNair play college ball. But boy, I tell you what, he wasn't on that. Didn't you say he wasn't on that HBC? He wasn't. It was Doug Williams. Is
not on the list,
right?
Right,
the top 10 all time.
He was on the category called best of the rest, but he did not make the top 10.
He was a great player in college. He was a great player in the NFL. I mean, he was a tremendous quarterback.
I'll tell you
McNair.
What, he kind of I remember that year because we came out the same year. And he really broke the mold of what people thought about black quarterbacks at the time. Because, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, Steve was in the mold of a running quarterback, but he could throw.
Yeah, well, he was 6'5", maybe?
Probably about, 6'3". He was like 6'3". I don't remember Steve being
dude.
That tall. I guess compared to, I don't know, I guess to the average quarterback, I guess. But he was a little, I don't think he was 6'5". He wasn't
6'5".
Yeah, he wasn't that big.
Oh, wow. I thought he was bigger than that.
Yeah.
Now, he did end up, if you remember, on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, I remember that for Alcorn. Because I remember being at Central State and hearing about him because, boy, they was in that air raid offense or whatever they called it.
Willie Cooley.
And he was throwing it every
it was him and his
play.
Brother, right? Wasn't his brother part of that team also?
I don't know about that. But I do know hearing about him way up there in Ohio.
Because I think I went to Samford to see them play.
Uh-huh. And I remember they used to go in that set. It was like a 5 or 6 wide receiver set. And he was letting that thing fly.
In his senior year at Alcorn, 4,863 yards passing, 936 yards rushing, NCAA record, 5,800 yards.
Oh, they were putting, like, there was no question that they were like, we're putting him in the NFL. We going to the league. He's going to the league. He is definitely going to the league, no question about that. He was one hell of a quarterback, no question.
Yeah, I mean, he was tremendous in college. Yeah, but you know, sometimes that's a little bit misleading because you go to Jerry Rice being the number one player on that list that you know that for HBCU, and whether you argue Jerry Rice or Walter Payton, but when Jerry Rice was at Mississippi Valley State, everybody thought it was the quarterback Willie the Satellite Totten, who was the quarterback at Mississippi Valley State because they were scoring 80 points a game, and Todd was throwing all these touchdowns, and Jerry was catching them. But everybody thought it was the quarterback. Well, it turns out it was the wide receiver.
Shannon Sharp, too. Shannon Sharp put it down. I don't know how people feel about that, but Shannon Sharp should probably be higher on the list. Shannon Sharp put it down. He went to Fort Valley. Was it Fort Valley? No, Savannah State, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I think the list probably was more for what they did in the NFL than it was for the HBCUs. But you're right. That was a hard group to condense within 10.
Right.
Because you could have easily had 25 players.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, maybe they should have done 25. I don't know. I mean, yeah, right. I mean, so many great players. And then so that brings up the question, Hugh. It's Thursday.
Have I figured out what I'm going to wear yet?
No. Have you written a speech?
No, but it's funny because I've had some friends call. I have some friends coming down. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of like me. They're kind of last minute. And they're coming down at the last minute, which is it's not bad. But it's like as we get closer to it, no. I know I have to meet for a lunch engagement with my school is coming down tomorrow. And they want to meet for lunch. And, you know, I really hope that they don't expect me to dress up for that. I really do. Because I am so, like, if they know anything about me, AT, I've been in this radio game this early in the morning for so long. Look, that put no like to run home and put on some real clothes. No, that's
just
not
bring them
happen.
With you.
No, stop. That's not gonna happen. That's just too much.
They may
work.
Take pictures to put in the alumni magazine or something like that.
Fine, AT. See, now he's speaking like a PR guy. Now he's speaking like a straight up PR guy. You, fine, AT. Fine.
Do you get your photo in bronze on the plaque?
I don't know, John. I'm just going. They asked me to show up, and I'm just going to show up. I'm gonna do that, and then we'll take it from there.
You gonna shave?
No, for what? Are you kidding me?
Just ask him.
How dare you disrespect me like that in front of family members? Shave for what? You mean my beard?
For photos.
No.
How long have you been rocking that beard, by the
way?
It's
been about a year. I off and on, since I've been here, about 5 years. Off and on. And you know what's funny? My son asked me a couple days ago. He was like, because he cut his hair. And he said it just like this. Hey, Dad, you know, I cut my hair because, you know, I just want a little bit of change. Is there anything you want to change about yourself? You know, like maybe you want to shave? And I looked at him like, how dare you? How dare you? I mean, I don't grow hair on my head, so I got to grow hair some. So I choose the beard.
Hey, we just got a tweet in from Ian Rappaport in the last couple of minutes while we were talking. If you're a Florida Gators fan, you need to know this. Apparently, Todd Grantham has said no to the Cincinnati Bengals this morning. He is going to stay as the defensive coordinator at Florida. Zach Taylor was trying to get him to go to Cincinnati as their new DC. Todd Grantham at Florida, according to Ian Rappaport this morning, has told Cincinnati he will not go to the NFL, that he will stay with the Florida Gators as their defensive coordinator. Of course, this is after what? Didn't Cincinnati hire some high school guy or something?
Yeah, they hired a high school coach, John. You caught me off guard. He was from Cincinnati Moeller.
Yeah, right.
Some guy,
I mean, Moeller, remember Jerry Faust? You know, Jerry Faust went from high school coach at Cincinnati Moeller to head coach at Notre Dame. That was a disaster. And it's not important who the name of this guy is, but, yeah, Cincinnati, Zach Taylor's hired a high school coach to come in and help him out, which I think this morning if I'm in Cincinnati, I'm going, what are you doing?
Well, I will admit this. As a former player, I kind of thought that. Because there's always that stigma of like a high school coach trying to teach grown men, but that's not to say that they can't, and it shouldn't be that way. But I must admit that's the first thought that came to mind when I heard that is how you're gonna have this high school coach teaching grown men.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And so, again, the news is Todd Grantham. Georgia fans still go repulsively. They reflect on that. We'll stay at Florida as the defense coordinator for another year and not go to the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, a lot to chop up. Big weekend ahead, Daytona 500, pitchers and catchers, and the NBA All-Star Weekend, all compressed into one weekend. NBA All-Star Weekend, John Collins is going to try and become the fourth Hawk to win the slam dunk. How good is the slam dunk competition? And we're asking this morning, and we'll ask you next to jump into the conversation. What do you do to make the slam dunk competition better? You give us a call at 404-741-0929. If you could change it, how would you make it better? That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.